We're going to read from a few passages. It was my intention to return back to our series on Abraham this morning, but I was out visiting a member of the church here, and I got so blessed in sharing a passage of scripture with her that I said to May, there's a sermon here, and it's growing in my heart. And it actually grew so much that afternoon and into the and that night. I decided I was going to preach this morning, for I believe it would be of the Lord that we would preach it this morning. And so I want you to turn with me, please, to two passages of Scripture. First of all, to Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. It would be good for us to read it all, but we aren't going to do that. We're going to read the first six verses. And then a very similar passage, you might think. You might not think it, but it is. Over in Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, and we're reading verses 46 to verse 56. So we're reading two passages together then, Psalm number 34 and verses 1 to 6, and then Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. The title today is, O Magnify the Lord with Me. And if you want to know what the title is tonight, Three Destinies That Cannot Be Changed. Tonight's message is Three Destinies That Cannot Be Changed. But this morning's title is, O Magnify the Lord with Me. I find that is becoming a problem. There's very few that really want to enter the spirit of magnifying the Lord, of lifting Him up. We're living in a negative society politically. We're living in a negative society socially. We're living in a negative society morally. We're living in a negative society financially. Everything is negative. And the problem with that is that it's rubbing off on the church. We're negative. I really wanted to do this, but I didn't like to go to Tommy McLernan. I wanted to buy everybody a packet of Polo Mints this morning. I saw them at £1 for 5 packets, and I said there were probably about 250 people. I don't think we could stretch it that far. I really wanted to give you, in fact, I have a packet here, but there's only one packet. I could have maybe sort of taken them out of the packet and put them on into a wee bit of a basin, and you could have all had one each, but I thought that was a bit miserable. And so I decided not to do anything at all about it. Why was I going to give you a Polo Mint? Because you can look at two things in the Polo Mint. You can look at the hole in the Polo Mint and say, well, what's the rest of the mint? Where's the rest of the mint? It's like people who look at the glass half full. They think it's half empty. And so because there's so much negativity around, we've become negative. We have adopted the mentality and the attitude of society. I'm currently preparing a series for the summer entitled Handling Hot Potatoes. Have you ever heard of that one before? Contentious issues. And in every one of those, we're dealing with gossip, we're going to deal with resentment, we're going to deal with unforgiveness, we're going to deal with bullying, we're going to deal with a whole variety of issues. And as I've been preparing and reading and studying, I've discovered that every one of them is coming back to one issue. Attitude. Attitude. It depends on our attitude in every one of those situations. Our attitude has become so negative that it has reduced God to microscopic image. That's what's happened. Our God's not a great big God anymore. Our God's not great anymore. Our God's not gracious anymore. Our God's some cruel tyrant sitting on the clouds, totally disinterested, and cares not about human society, because that's what we are portraying to the world. That's what we're portraying. And so as I sat with May Fraser the other morning, as we went into this little psalm, it just hit me there and then. One of the things I've never preached on is magnify the Lord with me. Let's read together these two passages of Scripture, please. Psalm number 34, verses 1 to 6, and then over to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all his troubles. Over there to Luke chapter 1, you'll know this is the great Magnificat. This is Mary singing a song. And she's singing a song because she's had an encounter with the God of heaven. An encounter which would change her name, change her life, would catapult her into history, and we'd still be talking about her 2,000 years ago. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and he hath exalted those who are of a low estate. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and then returned to her own house. Amen. May God help us as we look at his word here this morning. For many, I believe their God is far too small. I believe their view of God is far too small. I know this because of the things that they say. My problems are too big, there's no way out of them. And yet God's word says, nothing is impossible with me. To those who live under guilt of condemnation, constantly, their view of God is too small. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. To constantly live in fear, your view of God is too small. God's love is perfect, and perfect love casts out all fear. If you ever think of yourself as always being alone or lonely, your view of God is very small. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think of a case in point, Elijah, up on the Mount Carmel, where God had taken him aside, where he was to flee from the tyrant Ahab, who would be seeking his life after he prayed that there'd be no rain. And there he was alone. But he was never lonely. God was always with him. If ever you think that God doesn't understand my circumstances, well, it says in Psalm 147 and verse 5, great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. If you ever think that God doesn't understand your circumstances, then your view of God is too small. Not only by the things that people say, but the things that people pray. They've got in a wee box. We're afraid of the extraordinary prayers just in case God doesn't answer it. We don't want to put ourselves in a place where we look foolish. And so we pray small little puny prayers. And if the unsaved listen to us praying, they'd say, they haven't got much of a God, have they? The things that people pray. God wants us to pray huge, faith-filled prayers. In fact, it almost seems ridiculous that Jesus would challenge us to say, if ye have faith, ye can say to this mountain, be removed. Has anybody ever climbed the mountains? I've climbed them once, never again. It must have been a million years ago. And the way that we approached the mourns wasn't the traditional way, and I had my twin nieces with me and a few other children, 5 and 6 year old, climbing the mourns. And after we went over the first peak and the second peak and then the third peak, I said, when are these peaks going to disappear? I thought when I got to the top of the first one that was it. But then you got to the next. Have you done this? Have you? And you get, well, Richard, you've done it. And a few others. And then you get to the third. Oh, it wouldn't be great to be able to pray, Lord, would you ever get these mountains out of my road? Wouldn't it be ridiculous if someone heard you praying, Lord, would you move this mountain? Now, I believe that Jesus was speaking on a spiritual standpoint, but that doesn't mean to say that he's praying about something that's easy. He's talking about praying about something that is outside of our power, outside of our ingenuity, outside of anything. And can I challenge you? Can I challenge you? Are there circumstances and situations that you're facing? Because I know them, and I would love sometimes to be able to be honest with you and tell you some of mine. But isn't it wonderful that we can bring these problems that seem outside of our power and just to say, Lord, here's this. I'm giving it to you, and I'm expecting you to do something about it. Too often we pray weak human prayers like, God, help me to have a nice day. Really? A nice day? Is that the best you can manage? Or, Lord, help me to get through the day. It'd be just great if I had no bother with the children. Is that all? Is that all? Lord, life's not going so easy, but if you can just give me a wee bit of a push. I'm kind of minister to some people by text who haven't been in church here for quite some time, and you don't know them, but I just can't get out of bed. But then I meet them in the supermarket. I think it's maybe churchitis. That's a new disease, you know. Doctors can't tell you what's wrong. Now listen, I do know that there are some people who have huge problems with crowds. And I know that there are some people who have huge problems in many and various different ways. But just to pray, Lord, just help me get through today. When all the time God's word says, nay, but we are more than conquerors through Christ. In fact, I like to read what it says in 2 Corinthians 2. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Huh? Always? Some say I can't do this. And some say I can't do that. Now that's not true of all of us. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, says Paul. The only way that we can change all or any of the above if we get a proper view of who God is. a proper view of who God is. The only way that you and I, preacher included, all fingers pointing back at me, is if I have a proper view of my great God. I've been so gripped with this over the weekend. I went and did a wee bit of reading up on it. And I read somewhere, the reason why so many people are not interested in churches is because the church is presenting a too small of a God. The reason why so many are leaving the church, the reason why so many people discount the church, is because we are presenting a very small God. We're presenting a disinterested God, a harsh God, an uncaring God, a frail God, an unhearing, unconcerned, uninterested God. Now, it's not that we believe those things, and it's not that we deliberately would portray those things, but we are portraying that nevertheless. Our problem is not indoctrination, information, instruction. You know the biggest problem that will hit this service at the end? Application. What am I going to do with what I hear? Well, what did you do last week? You heard Jackie Hughes? What did we do the week before? What did we do the week before that again? What did we do last year with what God said to us? The problem is not information or indoctrination. The problem is application. With that all said, then I have three simple things that I believe the Lord impressed upon my heart. As I look into Psalm number 34 and verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The instruction in what the psalmist said. What do we magnify in life? I've discovered that we advertise that which is more important to us by the various decorations, bumper stickers, billboards, advertisements. We advertise our favorite sports teams or sports personalities, our political candidates. And you can hardly drive around these roads today, but you're looking at some ugly mug about somebody who wants your vote. Fraser, I'm sorry. Political candidates, favorite singers, favorite sports stars. By the advertisements that we have in our bedrooms, by the wallpaper we have on our phones, by the magazines that we prefer to buy, by the advertisements that were most wrapped in our attention, that often can be the thing that we magnify most. Our calendars, our credit cards, our bank statements will show even more what we magnify. Clothes, fashion, pleasure, pastimes, properties, and pensions. The psalmist here is saying that we need to shift our focus. Instead of magnifying those things which have caught our attention of fleshly and temporal things, he says, I want you to refocus on him. Amen. That's what God is saying to this church today. I believe that with all of my heart. You need to start focusing on God again. Yes. Lest we lose our identity. Lest we lose who we are. And lest we find ourselves in the same little box that we put God in. Magnify the Lord. Oftentimes our focus is on self, selfishness, and I'm the most important thing that there is on planet Earth. Oftentimes we focus on success. Oh, we'll train 5 days a week to be the best sports person and take no time for God. I want to win and be a winner. I want to be successful. I want to be the best athlete. I want to be the best professional. I want to be the best student. Focus is of God. The psalmist here is challenging us to refocus, to put the spotlight back where the spotlight belongs, put it back on God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Notice the inclusion together. He's not saying that you have to go out individually. We do it separately, privately, individually. But he says, as a collective congregation, he says, I want you now to refocus, shift your focus once again. Let's reset. Let's press reset, reset, and let's go back to default, and let's start focusing on God. On God. It's challenging us really as to how to live as his children. It's a challenge for us to think, consider, treat, respect God and everything about God in our lives once and for all as being the most important person, the most important relationship, the most important individual that ever was. That's the instruction. That's the instruction. Just like what Mary was saying in the great Magnificat. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And guess what happened? Whenever she magnified the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice. You know why we've got mealy-mouthed in a worship and praise of God? Because we're not magnifying God. We have nothing to be excited about anymore. We are so negative, we're so focused on what's going wrong that we haven't even focused on the one who is sovereign over absolutely everything that is possible and that's going on in your lives. In fact, as a consequence of Mary focusing on God, she says, he's going to be my Savior. And she went bent, she didn't go become hysterical, she became historical. And she went back over what the Lord had done for the children of Israel. And she went over event after event after event because God had done something for her. And she says, well, I shouldn't be surprised. Look what he did for the children of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. I shouldn't be surprised. He brought them through the Sea of Galilee. Why are we surprised when God does something unusual? It's because we don't expect him to do anything unusual because we are focused on the negative. You think God couldn't save your family? Aren't we too focused on what God's not doing? Remember what Jackie Hughes said last week? Some woman was in the meeting and he was preaching and she says, you said amen 22 times in that sermon. And then Jackie asked her, what did I say before that, for amen? She says, I can't remember. Well, what did I say after the amen? She says, I can't remember. The only thing that you can remember is amen. The instruction. Mary is facing very dangerous days. For to be or to appear as an adulterous person, she was in line to being stoned to death. Wasn't she? Well, wasn't she? She was facing stone. That's what they did with people because she was already espoused to Joseph. And that's as good as being married. And because she was pregnant and no one knew who the father was, so she had no idea, this 15 or 16-year-old girl who has now shifted the focus of the negative thing, I'm pregnant, to the one whom she had met. And she focused from this embarrassing situation before the eyes of the world, whom no one could have known. She set her focus back on God. Where's your focus on? All the tough times that you've had in your life. Well, I could get down here and I could have the best pity party with you because I could rub shoulders with you and agree with most of the stuff you're going through. But will that do you any good? Will it? Will it do me any good? So the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Listen, he says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And on it goes. Very quickly, not only the instruction, but notice the investigation of what the psalmist says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. What does that really mean? Magnify means to make great. What did Trump say about America? Let's make America great again. Don't forget about that word again, because he's thinking they were great. That's a load of nonsense, by the way. And by the way, it's not that we're trying to make God great again. God is always great. He's always great. It was interesting, the thoughts that I had as I was praying with May Fraser. And then when I went to the commentaries, they were all saying the same as what God had put in my heart. You can't make anybody who's so great that he can't be made any greater, because you can't make God any greater than he is. We can make him, but we can make him appear greater to others. We can make others have a greater view of who God is. We can make others have a greater hope in him than they do now. And we can try and stretch ourselves to see the greatness of God towards us. Now, then I started to think about magnifying glasses. There are two kinds of magnifying and magnification. Did you know that? Some of you, I think you do, Amanda, you work with microscopes. Maybe not you, but people who work with microscopes are making very small things appear bigger. Not right. But then when you get a telescope, anybody here got a telescope? I've got one. I can't see anything through it. The lens is broken, this news. But a telescope brings something that's huge, but because it looks so small that it's far away, it brings and helps us see the true size of what we're looking at. The psalmist is not asking you to be a microscope here. The psalmist is asking you to become a telescope. Let's bring God into view for all to see. Oh, how do I do that? Well, certainly not living a negative, half-baked, wishy-washy kind of a spurious Christian experience, where if I tell you what, if that's all you've got, you can keep it. When the Bible says to magnify the Lord, it does not mean to say to make a small God look big. It's actually asking us to make a big God look real in the eyes of humanity. Esther and I were on some people say that you were on another break last week. I was not on another break last week. Have you got that now? Can we all repeat this after two? One, two. I was not on another break last week. I went down to a family wedding on Thursday night, and I was home on Friday night at 10:30. Is that all right? That's that sorted. You can tell each other that then. Well, I stayed in my brother Ronnie's house on Thursday night, up the next morning, as usual, hairdos for the women. Isn't that right, ladies? Hairdos for the women. And shower and a shave for the men. And that's it. That's the best we can get. I went into their bathroom, into the shower, and Ronnie has got one of these old-fashioned to me anyway, one of these mirrors. You know the round mirrors? Two-sided mirrors? One is a magnifying side, and the other's got the ordinary side. I turned around to the magnifier. I said, "What an ugly mug you've got." Have you really got that old, have you? And I looked at it, and it began to show every discrepancy and everything that was about my face. I said, "There's ugly things about your face that you've never seen before." I'm not afraid of magnifying my God. I'm not afraid. Can you imagine taking Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius or Russell or these false religionists and putting them onto the telescope of truth? Can you imagine how they'll appear? When we put the telescope on God, we begin to see his grace, his majesty, his compassion, his wonder, his splendor. Oh, the splendor of the King. His love is past finding out. His mercy that you and I can come into here, guilty, hell-deserving sinners who deserve nothing but the wrath of God, and he'll apply his mercy. Oh, we need to tell what the Lord has done for us. You know what? I'm amazed that whenever someone gets saved that we don't have a hallelujah party in the church. Oh, it's almost as if it's take it or leave it. It doesn't affect us. I want to tell you, it should rejoice our hearts. The mercy of God applied to some hell-deserving sinner who has had their back towards God and black in every way that they lived. It's kindness. I think the chief characteristic that God has to apply to me is patience. I am the thickest individual and as thick as two planks. I know you don't agree with that. I know that. It's perfectly all right that you don't agree. I kind of want it done like yesterday or last week, maybe better. And God works in my heart. And sometimes he makes things go slower just to see, will I learn patience? When I put God on the telescope, I find no discrepancies. I find no flaws. I'm not afraid for the world to view my God. Are you? He says, let's magnify the Lord. Let's tell of the wonders of his love. You know, how do we do this? We do this by praising him because it impacts people. We do this and it builds faith in us and other people. Listen, we need, hear this next wee paraphrase, please. We need to start to give God the glory in everything. You hear me? Everything. I'm going to say that again. We need to give God the glory in everything. See, whatever people tell me, I was lucky there. You weren't lucky. There's no such thing as luck. Luck is an old carnal, ungodly statement that rules God out and it puts the law of random into it. I hate it when Christians say that. Now, did you hear what I said? We were lucky. What you're saying is God had nothing to do with it. Here's what it says in Psalm number 40. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. This verse is for every soul who loves the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. When people say I'm lucky in life, I refuse to give luck the credit, and I'll magnify God for blessing me. When people give the doctors credit for their better health, yes, we need to thank God for their gifting. We need to thank God for their talent. But we need to thank God that he gave them the gifting and the talent that we would get well. When your financial planner makes you the first millionaire in Elvis Cross, don't look at me like that. Hands up those of you who are still working on your first million. Hands up those of you who are working on your second million then. Get the point? You need to give God credit in everything. In fact, if you look at Psalm number 34, I'm going to give you a whole range of verses. Verses 4, verses 6 to 8, verse 15, verses 17 to verse 22. You'll see him giving God thanks for the many blessings and interventions that God had in his life. I've very nearly got you to sing the introduction here. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Listen, if this morning was a bad morning, just thank the Lord that every morning is not a bad morning like this morning. If tomorrow's a bad Monday, just say, thank you, Lord, that let's get a positive view of God. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about a healthy, holy, positive view of a God who's in control of absolutely everything. And if he's letting you go through tough times, then he's allowing it for a reason. Here's a wee report. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Remember him? You don't remember him, but you've read about him, haven't you? Here's one of his first... Here's the report of his first convert. I dug this up somewhere. Listen to it. How my heart leaped for joy when I heard the tidings of my first convert. Now, this is old English, so you have to listen to it. I could never be satisfied with a full congregation and the kind expressions of friends. I longed to hear that hearts had been broken and that tears had been shed and streaming from people's eyes as they had met with God. How I did rejoice, as one that findeth great spoil over one poor labourer's wife who confessed that she felt the guilt of sin and was savingly brought to Jesus at the end of one of my sermons on a Sunday afternoon. She was the first soul in my ministry, and I can assure you she was so precious indeed. No mother has ever been full of happiness at the sight of her firstborn son. Then could I have sung the song of the Virgin Mary, for my soul doth magnify the Lord, for remembering my lowly state and giving me the glorious honour of having the knowledge of another soul that had come to Christ. The instruction here, let's give God thanks for everything. Do you bow in the restaurant when you get a meal? Lord, thank you for this food. Or are you embarrassed? Did you make it safely in a journey? Before you set off, I need to preach at myself about this, by the way. I can hop into the car and forget. Lord, thank you, we got there safely. Lord, for my children, for my church. Because there's not one of us has got anywhere in life if it weren't for the general common grace of God. Let me close this wee message. Notice the implication of what the psalmist said. Christians are not called to be con men. People who magnify an inferior product. We're not called to speak about or elevate something that's not real. But then we could be guilty of perverting who God really is. The whole duty of the Christian can be summed up in this: feel, think, act, react in a way that magnifies the Lord. It ought to be obvious, but it isn't. Due to the sinful insensitivity of and forgetfulness of the world's hearts, they need to see God's blessing on his people's lives. That once again, people will be excited about who God is. A young preacher went to Spurgeon to ask why he himself, not Spurgeon, but the young preacher, was not seeing souls been saved in his messages. Spurgeon asked him, "Do you expect to see any converts when you preach every sermon?" The young preacher said, "Oh, no, of course not." He said, "I'd just like to see an odd one getting saved." And Spurgeon said, "That's just the reason you're not seeing anyone saved, because you don't expect." The psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." If only we could take that seriously. If only we could show it more thoroughly. If only we could shift the focus of ourselves and put the spotlight on God. Your world, my world, would utterly be transformed. Let's, from this moment, say, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to realize that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And the very fact that you take that breath is a blessing of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Father, we thank you that our focus, our attention has been drawn to who you are, and it is revealed upon to us, Lord, how selfish and self-centered and self-focused we are. And we pray, dear God, that from this moment we will determine, I'm going to get my eyes off the issues that have distracted me, and I'm just going to solely focus on you. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. Thank you for the many in this church who by their lives and by their actions try and seek to glorify God in everything they do. We pray for every life, that we will redouble our efforts to further emphasize to a world that's dying and has no hope that there is hope, and that hope is only in God. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get you to stand and sing The Splendor of the King. Take us to our homes in safety. Lord, help us to think much and make much of him. And we pray that your blessing will be upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.